everybody. Welcome back. It's New Blood Rising Podcast, episode something, something, something. We're going to be covering Clash of Champions 22. I am Jason Kiesler, joined by William Rinkin.
Good evening.
Thank you, robot. And this is Charlie Stabile.
How you doing?
There we go. And no way at all have I made AIs to sound like these gentlemen. That's them. But coming up, so glad for you to join us. Hoping you had a good time with our alternate reality wrestling stuff that we wound up doing to close out the show. I'm pretty sure that all of yours were great, and this is no way within a few hours after recording the last one. Quick business out of the way. Of course, we're sponsored by Main Event Candle. That's at Main Event Candle on Twitter with no S. MainEventCandles.com. Use the promo code new, or excuse me, I almost gave the wrong one. Best of luck. We'll get you 20% off. We have our Best of Luck Spot Candle. They also have several other candles from other podcasts and other independent wrestlers. The Green Mist candle they have is really good. It's bonsai and something else. So good I forgot what it was. Also want to thank Big Bad Boris from the Punk and Pile Driver podcast on Backbreaker Media on Podbean. Thank you, Boris, for completely legal things. Anyway, here we are, guys. What you got?
Clash of Champions 22. Yeah. That's have we talked about this before, how if clashes are more or less fun than pay-per-views?
Yes, we have. And the same applies here.
What's the verdict?
I said the same applies here. It is much more fun.
Oh, it is fun. Because you know what's fun? It's like it feels like this is still the prototype for Raw. This is the prototype for what Raw would be in terms of...
It's crazy to say that.
I know. Because literally, like...
We're 10 days away
from... But like,
we're in January '93.
Yeah, because so much business has happened since Starrcade, and it's
only about. Do you have anything in there about WCW took this news?
So, well, I don't have that necessarily, but thank you, Nick. At the buzzer, came in with our information that we like to lead in with before each show. Did you already do your read
for Main Event Candle?
Yeah, you good?
Yeah.
Because it was really quick. Man, you really tightened that up. I was making sure. Good.
Not like it was me doing it,
Well, look. The last one, I recorded it. It was like 3 minutes. It was like a 3-minute read. This one was like 15 seconds.
Because I added a whole bunch of stuff.
It was good.
To it, so.
All right, here we go. All right, so, guys, I hate to say this. It's the last clash before Jim Ross joins the WWF.
Oh, no.
This is it. Bon voyage, Jimmy.
That's a goodbye, my friend.
Goodbye.
Because it's 93 is the Caesar's Palace WrestleMania, right?
My first Mania that I was aware of for wrestling.
How awkward and weird Jim Ross was on that.
He did look weird. What's going on with the steroid trial?
I don't have anything on that necessarily here. What I have, though, is like so many titles have shifted. We're going to see some in the show. Two of them in the show, but there's also a little bit more that's been going down. So obviously Vader beats Ron Simmons, we see that. Muda defeated Chono, we see that in the show. We'll talk about that then and there. Dustin Rhodes actually won the U.S. title. It's not here. He won it by defeating Ricky Steamboat on the January 11th edition of Saturday Night. Whoa. Aired on tape delay January 16th. So it's, you want to know something funny? All that talk about Rude and the 30 days to defend.
What, it was 3 weeks?
He had already vacated on December 1st.
Or January 1st?
December 1st.
Oh. Before Starrcade?
Yeah. So,
what?
He had already vacated it.
Well, because that's the day that Scott Steiner also vacated the TV title, was December 1st.
Funny enough, Scott Steiner was stripped of the TV title when he and Rick left for the WWF. I don't know, it doesn't say exactly when they left, but we know that they were, starting in January, they were being seen up in Connecticut because of, or in late December or so. It's just wild. Like, that's
how, wait, well, what do you mean? Hold on. Is this kayfabe? Like, what do you mean he dropped the title on December 1st?
He vacated due to injury. I mean, he hadn't defended it since November.
But anyway, he hadn't vacated it by Starrcade.
But he hadn't vacated it in kayfabe.
In kayfabe.
Like, in actuality, they were taking the belt off him because of the injury.
But it's not a real belt. Like, this is pro wrestling. So they must know that he was going to be out for a long time and
maybe it was a situation where like they didn't announce on TV because maybe it was a possibility of, like, you know,
gotta be okay.
You don't know how
maybe
long.
Maybe he got a second opinion,
something like that. Who knows? I mean, who knows?
That makes more sense.
But that's a lot going down. That's a lot of shifts. I mean, that's almost a completely new title board all the way across for WCW. That's all. That's what I got. Thank you, Nick at the buzzer.
Flair's got to be on his way back here soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he has that loser leaves forever match.
With perfect.
Yeah.
What a great match that is.
That's a great
very underrated.
Match. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right, so.
Well, stage. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I was going to say with the first Raw coming up, and this clash where you're talking about how did they respond, kind of feels a little bit, because there is so many video packages. We're investing in people in different ways that didn't see before. Like, I mean, the way Cactus Jack is presented in this, mm-hmm. it's like, we got to get somebody else. We need a number two face. Because they really don't have a number two face. I mean, it's Dustin to me. It's Dustin or Ricky.
Yeah, but he's busy like doing tag matches.
Yeah,
and stuff.
So but getting Cactus Jack is what's in here.
Did you notice? Do you think it's interesting that Bill Watts mentions Ric Flair by name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, he's a name dropper. That's to put on here. Bill Watts introducing his new gimmick, the name dropper.
Yeah, but it's weird to like even hear Flair's name.
He's gonna, I liked also send that down that way. Maybe you've heard of him. This little rookie.
Yeah. Spartacus. Yeah. And
Well, that's not Watts' fault. They're Spartacus.
Right.
But still, I gotcha.
Thunder Cage. Never even heard this name before.
The Thunder Cage. Also, they just come right out and tell us that that Vader and the guys are evil.
Yeah.
In the intro, against the evil team. I was like, I was waiting, like, if Rita Repulsa is not standing right there, because this is right close to the thing with that, the opening. But, and then here's... You know, Vader, they get here's the cool picture of Vader, here's the cool picture of Sting, here's the cool picture of Barry Windham. Dustin Rhodes looks like a mugshot.
Yeah.
Because it's just dead-eyed face. It can't be apparently a WCW clash or pay-per-view without notice of someone not going to be there.
Right.
So we get the news about Eric Watts.
Does him doing a promo give anyone else here anxiety? Like, I was like on pins and needles. Watching this.
You don't care if I cut the light on? Will it mess up your camera?
You can do whatever you want.
Do whatever I want. Well then.
This is what I love watching botchy promos because I want to watch their face the moment it shifts back to the... Because I want to see if they saw it on their face. Fuck, I fucked up.
I messed it up bad. I mean, Bill Watts isn't doing much good either.
No.
He's flubbing over stuff. And
Anytime they open the show with him, it's just not good.
No.
It's just not good.
This is one of those examples I was telling you about where I'm watching Tony. Like, mm-hmm. with the microphone to Bill Watts. Like, just watch Tony.
You just know Tony's biding his time. He's like, fuck, I just want to get down to the ring.
Right.
I don't want to be doing this. Sucks.
And it's all this... To say that Eric Watts is suspended for one night while they do the investigation. Because Eric Watts, I went to look up, I was like, did he get a DUI? Did he get arrested? Something. He legit hurt Arn. From what I could find, is he put Arn Anderson in an STF in a parking lot of a gas station and kept him in there until the police got there.
What?
Yeah, so like...
Why?
I vaguely remember something about this. Like, they took this all the way. Like, I think this was an angle, but, like, the way Arn... I think... And I'm not saying Arn Anderson's at fault, but, like, they played this thing like... It was like... They took it to the limit in terms of reality versus KD, right?
Because there was a sit-down... Like Jesse Ventura had a sit-down interview with Arn, and Arn was talking about how he's not under contract. He's working night to night, and he wants to get a contract, but they don't want to pay him what he's worth. And they're keeping his spot, or they're holding his spot by bringing in... He goes, I don't want to say nepotism. Like, it's this weird, like, whoa. He's like, but, you know, we've got Eric Watts. And, like, he's calling him out by name. He's saying he shouldn't be here kind of thing. And he's taking my spot and my money. And so that was... I don't know if that was taped before or after the incident. And again, I don't know if that's... You know, someone just set something up to do.
Yeah.
But there were like, because everything I read is Arn Anderson shows up at a gas station in Zubaz pants, and then Eric Watts just puts him in an STF. And if you see his STF later,
I swear we did something. We talked about this somewhere. I know we did because I remember us talking about how the gas station attendants, the people there, thought it was real.
Mm-hmm.
They thought it was real. I think it was just.
But that's the thing though, is if it wasn't, I don't understand the whole point of suspending him. But if they were...
Well, that's all nonsense, JC. Because let's face it, they say, we're going to have this investigation wrapped up in a week. And, like, you can just read all between lines. Like, this isn't...
Plus, he's at the building.
Like, well, first of all, what investigators do you really have, Mr. Watts?
JJ Dillon.
J.J. Dillon, Doug Dillinger, Chief Security.
I love that.
But J.J. Dillon. That kind of stuff. And I, what I mean is just... Chief Security. That's why I thought it was something else.
It's Dougie Dillinger.
That's an STF.
Is that, oh, is that what it looks like?
Yeah.
That's not an STFU. That's an STF. But yeah, that's what I mean. It was... Because his promo, I thought, damn, is he drunk now? Way that it was...
He kind of looks like Bryan Adams.
Which one?
No. Crush. Okay. He's got that same kind of tall, like lanky build with the long hair,
mm-hmm.
yeah, thing that he's got going on. I don't know, Eric. This promo. I mean,
the only crime he committed to me is that shirt.
Oh, God.
That is an ugly shirt, even for 1993 standards.
He did have that look of "We're live, pal." He did have that look right at the end, like shit.
Yeah.
Like I really screwed up.
Let me take that again. No.
Yeah. He's not good.
So, no. What we got for these, get back more into these notes. Like, do we have the title changes listed in the notes?
Yeah, I did.
Just those. The ones that, I thought it was something more besides what was brought up on the show.
The Dustin Rhodes, he's actually awesome. The U.S. champ. And the TV title's been vacated because it's never even mentioned on this show, which is a shame.
What's the number one movie?
Oh, I don't have that.
Was it January of 93? So
it could
still be. Top and a half.
What's the date of this show?
Do you have the 13th.
I can't remember, but I remember our last, we talked about how A Few Good Men came back to mm-hmm. be number one.
It's probably not number one anymore.
They came back in one of the first weeks of January.
One of the first weeks of January?
Yeah.
So. This is week two. Hmm.
It's a whole different world back then.
Beethoven?
Yeah, who knows, yeah. But, it sucks not having a TV title on a Clash.
It's just ridiculous. What's the point of the title?
It almost should be like the main event of every Clash is the TV championship.
With a 15-minute time limit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, this sounds dumb, but like if I was booking these types of shows, I'd have a battle royal in the beginning of the show and the winner gets to face the TV champ at the end. Every week, you do a battle royal and whoever wins it, face the TV champ.
Yeah, the TV champ was like... A lot of people like, you know, the U.S. title was the Intercontinental title. Not really. It was the TV title. That was the workman's title.
If U.S. title felt like a weird placeholder...
I never really cared for it. Except when DDP had it. When DDP had it, it was pretty cool. But I never cared for the U.S. title.
Well, the problem with the TV title is a lot of this run, it is never on the show.
Right.
Or if it is, the champion's at a multi-person match and the title's not on the line at all.
Yeah.
Like, people are like, who's the greatest TV champion of all time? And people go, Arn. I go...
Booker T was pretty
like,
good.
Arn... hardly defended that title from title. Where'd my southern accent come from?
Hot damn.
I think it is much harder. Like I think Arn is such an easy one mm-hmm. because it feels like he had it a lot. But that's not a prerequisite for who's the best. Like you can't like I know like it's I know it's sacrilegious to say Ric Flair is not the greatest heavyweight champion ever. But I mean, let's face it, just because you had the belt a billion times doesn't mean
that you also lost it 16 times.
He's right, exactly. So like. I mean, Bobby Eaton had a decent run during, not great, but he had a decent run. Mm-hmm. Steve Austin had a decent run with it and everything. But you're right. I'm curious the rest of this era, like who really weaves in and out of that picture. Because when you mentioned Booker, like that era was really fun.
Booker had it a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
it flipped.
Was it the Booker and Chris Benoit best of seven for the TV title?
Yeah,
or the
US but title? It wasn't for the title. It was for the number one contendership to face Fit Finley, who had
Holy
the TV
smokes.
Title. It wasn't even
this
for
was just
the
for the TV title. Why?
Chris Jericho was a great TV title.
Oh, yeah.
Because it came at the perfect time.
He lost the light or the cruiserweight. Then the night after, when it was perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really was. And he was the perfect guy to have it. Yeah.
Well, the best TV champion is Rob Van Dam.
of all things
TV champion.
Yeah. Rob Van Dam. He made that belt more important than the world.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. the main event to me.
I mean, it also felt that way because it was introduced in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he would say like, you know, the following contest is scheduled won't fall for the TV champ and just play his whole music out.
I mean, you're in.
And what?
He fought so many good wrestlers.
And all the, every pay-per-view that he had the belt, he defended it through our run, if I remember.
Except for Heatwave 99 when he teamed with Jerry Lynn against the Impact Players.
Was he still holding
Was he still holding the belt by that point? I think he was.
Because he got injured.
Yeah, he was. Because at Anarchy Rules the following September, he defended against Balls Mahoney. Yeah.
Well, it's, I mean, what, one out of, what,
50? Well, that's just one. That's
one out of 50, not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And he ended up losing it because I think he broke his leg.
His ankle.
I blows my mind. So, like, okay, don't call it the TV title because why WWE have never found a way to do that again? Like, I get it, they don't want to call it that. Even though, like, the U.S. title had its lineage with, you know, they brought that over. Why they never brought the TV title over, I'll never understand. But I'm glad AEW has the TNT.
Aren't they within the TBS?
Yeah, but it's still going to be the TNT because...
Because it's Dynamite?
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if only it was defended. It was defended every week, like last summer when Cody would go on this run and they would just have people that weren't part of the company come in and give showcases, which was really cool. And then, of course, the moment a heel gets it, it's not defended. And then a face gets it, and then it's defended kind of...
I mean, I love the idea. You're like a guaranteed regular on the weekly TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's something to look forward to. Like, WCW Nitro always looked forward to the opening match, no matter what, because it was usually a cruiserweight match.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV title was usually, as I recall, was on Monday Nitro. Hell, Rick Steiner held this damn thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like, okay, we'll see the TV champion and blah, blah, blah. Like, there were things like that to look forward to without even knowing what the storylines were.
Guys, remember when Duggan found it in the trash?
Yep. We covered that.
That's the all-time.
It was...
That's my thing is one wonderful thing about the TV title, really any title, because it's a goal, but the TV title, you don't have to have a story. Here's the concept.
The story is have to wrestle every television show.
You have to wrestle
show.
Every television show. And then you can also build in a match that's related where, okay, so... This week it's me versus Charlotte. Next week Will's gonna wrestle Martin to find out, and then the same night Will's gonna wrestle Martin. Whoever wins that faces whoever's the TV champion next time they're on TV.
You think they would want
a constant going?
Yeah, you think they'd want to do this more because it's less to write,
mm-hmm.
and it's a guaranteed 15-minute segment. That's not even a commercial break. That's beginning to end, no commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I mean, I've always wanted that to come back.
Yeah. I think because it could be one that rotates through all their brands.
Yeah. You have to wrestle.
You really want
to get people... It has to be our number one workhorse.
You really want to get people interested in NXT without having to bring their undefeated champion, who's been undefeated for an entire year, to come to Raw and lose to Jeff Hardy in 2 minutes? For real? And then, no, you get... Like, someone in NXT gets the TV championship. They're not leaving NXT, but then they get to be on Raw and SmackDown. You can see what they can do. And then move on. It's a great way to build people up. But anyway, that's why we're here and not in Stanford.
Well, it's kind of like with that description, it kind of sounds like the way the world champion used to travel to the territories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, I gotta go to Raw. I gotta go to NXT. I gotta go to SmackDown. And it's just like, I gotta make the rounds. It's like the modern day version of that.
Mm-hmm. It worked, but we're not in that.
No, we're not.
Here we are in January 92.
Armchair booking.
93.
95. We're 92. I quit this podcast.
it's never
going to end.
So what we got a year and a half left in this timeline before Sting or Hogan comes and takes the number one spot from everybody.
Go get that belt for me, Hulk.
That's right.
Go get it. Piece of shit. Dun, 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 dun.
But the first match we get on this is Cactus Jack versus Johnny B. Bad.
Can you talk about why? Because I think this is a change.
This is another change.
This is a change?
Yeah, I just completely forgot to walk it.
So, right, well, let's go over the changes. Van Hammer is supposed to be in the super cage, right?
It's Van Hammer supposed to be in the Thunder Cage.
Thunder Cage, not super cage.
Yeah.
I like super cage.
Super cage is even better.
It's a super
cage. The Thunder Cage with no electricity and no one climbs a cage. The Thunder Cage. Van Hammer's supposed to be there. He's out. So then the bad guys are going to get a 4-on-3 advantage. Ooh. Then, I forgot.
Eric Watts is suspended. Eric Watts was supposed to wrestle Cactus Jack.
That's okay. I couldn't remember. I just remember him being suspended. Didn't remember what it affected. So instead, we get an accidental story.
Yes.
Because here's the guys that were paired up.
Continuation of the story.
Sure.
A story they had no intention of continuing.
Yeah.
Well, makes no sense to continue either because one guy's clearly I didn't realize it at first, but when the crowd was like, why are they chanting for Jack?
I did the same thing.
Although, and then I was like, I know it's Milwaukee, which is secretly the best wrestling town ever.
Mm-hmm.
They are awesome at this show.
Over the Edge 98, brother.
Oh man,
best ever. But anyway, but that's why it was like, why are they doing this? Especially when Johnny B. Bad like is going over. Mm-hmm. Like, why is he even going over? Like, it's so fucking weird.
It's like they just inserted, or just like the good guy wins, but it's so you're good weird. Guys. And I didn't know either. Luckily, we had a recap that really explains, like, suddenly how these, and the fact that these people watch the stuff.
Yeah.
Because that'd be the only way that you would know to suddenly start, I mean, to just be cheering your ass off for Cactus Jack, who finally gets to come out to his music from the album.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which just sounds like a Primus song. If you speed it up, you put it out to 1.25 on YouTube, it sounds like a Primus song. It is pretty good. You want to start it? You want me to start it?
I mean, I can start it based on how quick it's going to go.
Sure. Yeah.
Crowd's behind Jack. Cactus gets the 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 10. That's all I wrote.
No, all right, cool.
Yeah, I love my favorite thing is the finish. I love Johnny B. Bad going for the, well, hope I make it to you flip.
Yeah.
To the, whatever you call that. The front flip.
Well, it's supposed to be a sunset flip, but it's not a sunset flip.
But Jack just like, no, I'm just going to sidestep that. And then.
The elbow. That's how he finished it.
And then, then he just drops the elbow. And like, Johnny B. Bad just fucks himself.
See, now, I will say this. There is one thing about these old shows that I really like. You never really know what move's going to get the pin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, here's a belly to belly. Here's just an elbow drop.
And like the way we see Vader beats Ron Simmons later. Like, another knock.
Shoulder breaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like this is kind of cool. This is like, I hit strong A, A, and I got a 3 count.
Last year, we were talking about tag matches, right? Mm-hmm. And you were talking about, like, how what annoys you is... See, I get annoyed by double hot tags. There is one hot tag in a match. But here's what would be really cool. Can we have a match end before it gets to the hot tag?
Absolutely.
So that way...
So someone never gets in the ring?
I have been waiting for them to reinvent the tag match for like 15 years. Because they all have the same formula.
Yeah.
And that's why if there's too many of them, I get burned out. Because there's going to be a hot tag. Like, there's got to be something else other than this one thing that can be like a staple in a tag match.
Well, what about the schmoz?
I mean, just change it up to where, like, I'm saying, like, let's have a match end before there gets to be a hot tag. Like, it just ends. Like, suddenly moves need to just end matches. Like,
yeah, exactly. Elbow. Yeah, you screwed up the sunset flip. Elbow, you're done.
Yeah,
you made a mistake.
Yeah.
I like the match isn't great. I like the finish quite a bit.
Just drops. He basically does his elbow, but in the ring. The same. Yeah.
So, but you got any notes on the match?
Not really. I'm kind of like with Charlie. Like, it's a fun... Like, the biggest thing is I was like, man, what's going on? Is this a smart crowd that I'm not... Like,
yeah.
Is Cactus Bill from Milwaukee?
Truth or Consequences, Wisconsin.
Shamil Shamazel. That's it, Incorporated. He comes out. But down at the brewery.
But it was neat to hear, though. It was neat to hear because, I mean, it was... And there's no point in talking about it now because it's obviously a bigger part of the close of the show with Jack and everything. Mm-hmm. But no, it's fine, man. It's a decent like opener for a Clash or a TV show. Yeah. What'd you think? I'll give it a...
I gave it a 4.
Where
do you want to go?
I'll give it a 4. No, a 4 is 4 is...
That's right.
I'll have what he's at.
No, because I mean, it's not down the middle. It's still kind of below pedestrian.
Yeah. These two are capable of putting on a much better match with each other, and maybe it's just...
But I will say, you know, one thing for Johnny B. Bad, it's like, you know what, man, like, it's a mark. There is a marvel to how Mark Mero was like a pretty good wrestler.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't argue that. He can't get the damn thing to work sometimes.
I know.
The gun's like, I'll be right with you. Hold on.
He's a good wrestler, not a good confetti cannon.
The safety zone.
But he does, I mean...
Yeah, baby!
Like the Johnny B. Bad outfit... Like, all this out like tonight, I was like, man, that outfit's great. It's a little weird that he goes and puts, like, his lips on the little lipstick, or he does Brett's visor thing, lips with, like, a 12-year-old little girl. It was just a little cringy. I was just like, hey.
What do you think of the show?
Yeah.
Do you like the program?
Would you quit blowing me?
Oh, no. No. No, Charlie.
The stairs.
But... Other than and it was weird. I guess it was a sign of things to come. There, Jim Ross is really working overtime to put Cactus Jack over.
Yeah.
It's the first time he's really, instead of just calling him crazy or dastardly or tough, like he's really going in on it.
Uh-huh.
Jesse Ventura, I don't have a lot. Just Jesse Ventura goes that Johnny B. Bad can get away with doing the punches, the closed fist, and it's not fair. Because they're always talking about this. He goes, well, he's a boxer. He shouldn't be closing like that. And so, and he goes, Bad can get away with punching, but the ref should just get in and give him a warning. Then he's not getting away with it. The ref gives you a warning, you're not getting away. And that's, and then just mixed backflip out of nowhere, no elbow drop, and we get a four.
We get a four.
So, right. Hot start for this clash of non-champions.
Now, this is how the show
starts. Here we start. Go.
Yeah. Well, yes, with the clip of Muda from the Egg Dome.
We gon' step.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I...
Yes. Oh, yes. But before
what's
we
this? Get... We gon' step.
Hey. Hey, too cold to bail.
Too cold to...
Before, like, they play, like, a little clip of Muda getting the title win at the Tokyo Dome, January 4th. Gotta give credit for that dude to wrestle on December 30th in the U.S. and fly to Japan to do both of them world title match in Japan just a couple days later. With the lag and the I was like, man,
that's a huge time difference.
Yes. Yeah. And it's working out. So we get that. Then we get Le Magnificent de Too Cold de Scorpio. And when we first announced, I can't remember who, and I'm sorry, when we first announced this season, like the week before we recorded, someone sent us on Twitter this video.
I'm so glad I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't figure out what it was at first. Oh, man.
As soon as I saw the kids playing basketball, I was, it's here. Like, this was like Captain America picking up Thor's hammer and the portals opening up. I was like, oh, my God. This is Too Cold Scorpio's video, which is incredible. I have so much stuff I want to say, but let's let Will... Well, you go, because I put the thing in our chat, and I was like, I can't wait to dissect this. And then, like, it was a couple hours later, and Will's just, you're absolutely right. So what you got?
All right, so.
Puts the camera down.
So, well, I mean, okay. It's just weird, because I'm not mic'd up, so you guys are. Anyway, this definitely, the first of all, this screams like, oh, Adobe released this new cool thing. Let's do it. Like, the whole, like, black and white and color. And,
it
like
starts on the net,
yeah.
And it pans down. Yeah, which I was like, how very cinematic.
There was some good movement in
there. That was pretty good, how they did that.
Yeah, and they're I like how these kids are skipping school just to go play basketball like at the local park. Like,
and then they're going to go to the game room, the arcade.
They're not doing anything really. This isn't like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles where they're going to hang out with
Regular or menthol.
Yeah.
Whoa, what an Oscar.
There we go.
What the hell? I feel bad.
I love that. That's what we go to.
Want an Oscar. But then, like, a limo pulls up, and it's Too Cold Scorpio.
Yeah.
And just...
With the Funkettes.
My question is, though, is would he ever get out if the kids didn't brick and the basketball go into the roof?
Dude, how about when he trucks over the fat white boy?
Yeah. No, the little chubby
dunks on him.
Who has a British accent.
Yeah, just
for no reason.
Like, man, fuck you, kid. Bip! And how he just drops that on him.
Are we going to school? What? Oh, my God.
So funny.
I actually had to turn the volume down because I was worried that Kyle would have heard it from the wall through the walls because it was like it's one of those things that we've talked about this where someone who doesn't watch wrestling that lives in your house was walking at the exact wrong moment.
Yeah.
And when that song came on, I was like, I love this, but I do not want him to hear this.
Oh, that lady just happened to be walking down the street and knew who he was.
Yeah, that's right. How long do you think it took the kids to get to school?
I have the same thing. It's going to take them a week stepping like that.
He's like, we get to ride in the limo?
No.
We going to step.
You going to walk school? We going to step.
Yeah.
And then, don't you do it. I will murder you in your sleep.
What? Step.
Yeah. Don't care.
Step.
We going to school.
And like
Rocky IV.
I had forgotten about what's happened in the video, and I'm like, okay, look, this is not sending the right message that a dude just pulls up in a limousine and come on, kids, I'll give you a ride to school. And just go, those kids are never seen again. It's,
District 5, Pee Wee hockey team. I'm Too Cold Scorpio. I'm your new coach.
Just take the fall. No!
Aver, man!
Hey, that's how you get Goldberg out of it.
The... I mean, that the whole concept is still bewildering to me. Like, so he just tells kids, like, he just tells kids to go back to school, but he's a little bit funky about it.
He's pretty funky.
And I don't, like, the weirdest thing is, like, I don't know what kind of social message they were trying to do with the, it's black and white, on, but then they had, like, those windows of color, like, throughout there.
They did the Schindler's List thing?
Well, no, like, no, it was, there wasn't a red coat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they had a little girl in a red coat.
This is why, this is why I was like, somebody was like perusing the Adobe suite and was like, oh, cool, look at this new thing we can do. What does it mean, Pat Buck?
Well, it felt like a PSA. Yeah. I mean, like the black and white with the color stuff and everywhere. It really felt like...
A very 90s PSA. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt very of its time, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the...
I miss stuff like this.
And then, I mean, like, the coolest part is, like, when they cut in this highlight reel, you're like...
Yeah.
It really like, is, like...
He's legit. Like Tuchel Scorpio was always great.
I mean, we're talking about the TV champion. Like, it's kind of the guy you should have.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, he should be the TV champion.
Who can have a good match with anybody on our roster?
I mean, this
Tuchel Scorpio.
Yeah. So, fun.
This segment, we don't rate segments. This is a 10.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
segment is a 10, man. Like, it really is. It got me pumped. It did. Yeah, and then, awesome. Son of a bitch, he's the next wrestling man.
Yeah. It's his Turner-tron or whatever you want to call it.
Dude, sorry. But we get Tuchel Scorpio versus Scotty Flamingo. Well, you love your Scotty Flamingo, so I'll let you kick this off.
I thought... This is a great, solid TV match. Like, what I love is, like, it's got just a hair of psychology. Doesn't have to have a lot. Mm-hmm. You can tell the moment they have to go home because all of a sudden it's just like... But I'll tell you, the repertoire that... I mean, it's he's so ahead of his time with what he's doing. His kicks, his martial arts kicks.
He's ahead of his time, but he doesn't do... It's not the shit that's out today. He doesn't do stuff that feels... Like, overindulgent or, like something that... He does stuff that seems to make sense, at least to me. Except for that nut shot that he gave me moving. Yeah. But that was a botch.
I mean, his jumping turns, his turning splash, it was awesome. His 450, obviously, was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, you had to be there.
It's still the best thing, the best 450.
I think, to your point, like, what's cool is, like, the way he moves is so fluid. Like, it's very effortless. Like
He's stepping.
I mean, it's... It's truly a shame that, like, he kind of gets, like, just lost.
Well, he's in the job squad, like, 5 years later.
He's Flash Funk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I'm skipping that. And they should have done more with that. And then they brought that back with Brodus Clay.
Right.
Which made me roll my eyes. Although, I will say, the Flash Funk action figure was one of my favorites.
That thing was very action figure-esque.
Yeah, it came with a big blue hat. I still have it. It's really cool.
I bet he jobbed a lot.
He did.
Yeah.
Whenever he did a 450, he always landed on his head, like, because of the way his body was shaped.
Yeah.
The Tuchel Scorpio still wrestles, and still wrestles like this. He wrestled at that thing last night, that GCW thing that Zack Ryder was at, and I was just looking through the tweets to see stuff.
What did it look like? How'd he look?
He did some kind of springboard off the rope backflip thing still, and he's 55.
Oh, like, my God.
Also, like, a great shoot interview.
Yeah, oh, yeah, because I...
he's got stories.
About Bagwell.
Oh, the Bagwell story. That's right.
Yes. And he is one of the highlights from... It's not necessarily... I mean, he's cool. It's him, but it's Scott Norton talking about him in Japan from the Dark Side of the Ring about the Peace Conference wrestling thing. So, it's almost like the Chappelle Show, Rick James, where it's like, no, and then, like, you cut to somebody, and they say, I did it. But it's just the way that him and Hawk, he was going to kill Hawk in Japan, or excuse me, North Korea. Like, it is intense.
There was another Hawk story that just came out, the one about with him and Randy Savage.
Yeah.
Did you come across that?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I sent y'all the thing, because it's what, at a Kid Rock concert in a bathroom. I'm hoping the altercation was during, like, you know, Only God Knows Why. It's just a good slow song, and there's a better.
I just think Hawk would kill him. You think, like, if he wasn't drunk, I think Hawk would really.
I don't know, man. I'd still think he'd take him if he was
Savage.
Drunk. I mean,
you think Hawk can take Savage if he was drunk?
I think Hawk is just dangerous.
He's dangerous.
I mean, he was a bouncer, which I'm not saying, like,
double so when if he has the pad on.
I mean, there was this era of bouncers in Minnesota that included Rick Rude, Kurt Hennig, and the Road Warriors. Like,
I'm not even going there.
What kind of club is that?
Be nice. Nobody's being nice. No.
The names, Mr. Perfect.
You being nice.
Just a blind dude on slide guitar, just doing the.
A lot of martial arts kicks.
I just was do any blast on someone.
on the rude awakening, he just rips the throat.
Yeah, on the pool table.
You look like shit.
instead of Tai Chi, that's what he's doing.
That's all he does in the yard. No.
Slide guitar version of Simply Rabbit.
Saying, where are we? You forgot the last part.
Listen up, all you sweat hogs.
I mean, like, seriously.
Last call.
I swear these guys are all in the same era of bouncers in Minnesota.
Yeah, because what was it? Rick Rude's best friend was Kurt Hennig, wasn't it?
I mean, that's what they tell us.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they've said.
Dude, Rick Rude and Mr. Perfect seem like that would have been an awesome team.
Yeah.
Like a different version of Money Inc., where it's like they're not gimmicked together, they just make a team.
They would have, would have meshed really well. Yeah.
Perfectly ravishing. That could have been their name.
Perfect.
Yeah, look at that. Got you going.
They could take on. Oh,
not a. Not
I
a
could see them taking on. Like this is a dream match, with them in rated RKO. I know that's out of nowhere, but that sounds like a good match.
Good pun. Making a Randy Orton comment and then saying out of nowhere. Good job. Without even trying. Not,
what? I wasn't.
It was clear. No.
I really wasn't.
But other than, I mean, like it's this first two matches are pretty short.
Yeah,
I mean we've talked more. We talked. Oh
yeah. What do we rate this?
I give it a 6.
I gave this a 6.
Yeah,
so
I give it a. I give it a 5 for me. But we get some good little bit of commentary because right after, I'm glad none of you picked it up. But I'm surprised you didn't, Charlie. Is when Scorpio is in the ring because he was already there dancing, and we'll talk about why he's got a dancing gimmick. You know, maybe one day at another show, but. Jesse Ventura just goes, what a great pace of film work we just saw.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, like...
And he had just done Abraxas, so, yeah, he knows.
Well, he'd done Abraxas a few years ago. I think he was
thought that was 90.
I thought Abraxas was, like, filmed a few years before it came out. But guess what? It's a Christmas movie. Oh, God. Go, what happens at Christmas? So, I don't know. Oh, you're like, no, we all pick one. Anyway, Jesse Ventura, just because we brought up the buff thing... Jesse Ventura says he's usually the giver, not the receiver. And if you just from if you've seen, yes, because Scorpio's in there just, I think he's getting worked over by Sky Flamingo for a second. And then Jesse just breaks that line out and is like, yeah, if you've ever seen one of his shoot interviews, you know it. Scorpio also misses a stinger. So now we're 0-for-3 of the stinger's flashes that we've seen. And the only reason why Scorpio's counts, for some reason, in some of his videos, he's got a scorpion on his pants, which I get Scorpio, but... You can't also wear a scorpion on your tights if the top guy is wearing a scorpion on his tights. Right.
It's like going hard doing the pile driver.
That's right. Did anyone else notice, though? Scotty Flamingo kicked out at 3.
No. I missed it.
No, I missed
it. He kicked out at 3?
He kicked out at 3. That seemed to be a habit that I'll see tonight.
Scotty Flamingo's got to be strong.
I mean, you can tell the guys, Raven's doing whatever he can to... Mm-hmm. I mean, he really is. Like, I mean... Every little thing in this match like just seems like it has a little bit extra on there because you can tell the guy's trying.
He broke out that old move that he used to do as Raven where he uses the rope in a really lazily type way but lunges over the top of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he used to do that as Raven.
And I don't know when he leaves WCW because he's acting, when the match is over, he's acting like someone that doesn't give a shit. Because when they're cutting to break, they're still just showing it from the arena... He's leaving like this, just walking like, woo! Like, wow.
Well, it's WrestleMania 10, right? Isn't that his first Mania? When he's managing... who's he managing? The Quebecers? The Mountie? When he first comes into WWF, he's Johnny Polo. And, right. And he's managing. Like, he's not wrestling at all. That was my introduction to him.
Right.
Yeah, so it's at least another year.
Oh, yeah, I just figured, like, wow...
Unless he goes to ECW for... because this is the year of ECW's... this is their first year.
Mm-hmm.
But Eastern Championship Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then we... After this match, and what? I got 2 6s and a 5?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Because then we get a recap of how Mr. Wonderful Yeah, Ronda.
Which is a long. Oh, also, can't awesome. Spell his name right either.
I got it right.
They can't.
Oh, they can't. Oh, okay.
So what? Wait, how does he spell his?
I believe it's there's not a second R. Oh. It's Orndorff. Is
oh,
how it.
Oh, I thought. Is that right? I thought there was a second R.
I think that's the thing. It's, like, it's
Paul Orndorff.
Is like, that Orndorff?
That doesn't sound.
No.
Orndorff on golf. What's wrong?
Oh, I thought that, okay, so there's a second F is the thing.
Yeah, there's two Fs. Okay.
But they,
I will say, I love...
His name... Never mind. I messed up, but I remember I've run into this a couple times because the spelling sometimes is not always consistent with Paul Orndorff.
I love his alternate costume. He looks awesome in jeans with no
shirt. Oh, he looks like hulked out Dalton from... I mean, Roadhouse. Yeah. I have that note. He looks like hulked out Patrick Swayze from Roadhouse.
And this is actually perfect, though, what we're coming up on here, because... he just passed away, and Foley said some really nice words about him, about working with him in WCW, and I was like, here it is.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Yep. Because they have a TV match.
But... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. I heard that thing's a doozy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was watching a guy talk about it yesterday. He's like, you got to see this match. Yeah. Is this when the Barbarian eats it?
No. Because this is when they have the Harley Race cuts, and he cuts his... awkwardly long promo, and then they cut to a Saturday night main event or something.
Slam Jam.
Is it Slam Jam? Oh.
This is the first ad for Slam Jam.
Oh, well, I was talking about the, for the clip of them beating, of the Cactus Jack and Mr. Wonderful wrestling one another to see who gets in, and so Cactus Jack just apparently, that like, has enough of Harley Race's shit, just mauls him on the outside. So then Vader just comes in and takes it. And I don't give up. Harley Race gets a beating throughout this episode.
It's like someone told him, you got to take more bumps. And he takes them.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see Harley Race taking bumps.
And like so this. It's just pretty intense because that's a brutal beatdown that Cactus gets. And so then I was like, so this would make, why didn't they just swap Cactus Jack for Van Hammer? And I wrote that before I knew what was going to happen. But that's the perfect... That's right there. You got a built-in character replacement. But we don't get that, but...
But look at the finish of the match.
What?
Look at the finish of the cage when we get there. We'll talk... If your objective is to get him over... He gets over more doing that, even though it makes that match just stupid.
Yeah.
It sacrifices the match completely. But the moment where he comes in and just does a run-in like a wrestler out of... Revenge with a or run in from the back with a weapon and just clears house. Which, by the way, what a repertoire of weapons: a shovel and a pair of bolt cutters.
Yeah, because he nails. He nails a Barry Windham in the gut with that. But like, I just also wonder how Barry Windham gets wrapped up in the Vader this thing. But we won't get that. But coming up, we get a technically chronologically first appearance of the Rabid Zebra, Chris Benoit.
Or, I think Tony was called Chris Benoit.
Benoit. Roar, roar. And versus old Candyman, Brad Armstrong.
Yeah, are you guys excited about who was on the hotline at this time? Like, boy, I'm curious who called in at this point.
Who was one?
I don't remember who it was.
Johnny, what's his name from with the Z-Man? And Z-Man.
Oh, Johnny Gunn?
Johnny Gunn and Z-Man around there. It's like, who the fuck wants to talk to them?
Hey, what are you wearing? Jeans. What are you wearing? Jeans.
Yeah, two of them.
We'll talk to you later.
Bland, leading the bland.
Yeah. Oh, man. And they had that weirdly provocative video package.
See, I forgot about it until I heard their music.
Yeah.
And I was like, knock off.
And then it kind of, and then it kind of struck me. I was like, oh, no.
That's them. But they come out, they're not in suits.
Nope.
There's nothing. We'll get to them.
Well, usually only villains wear suits.
What the? They were sharp-dressed people.
Right.
But, so I'll kick this off is... I would say the wrestling and action in this is super fast because this rotation's creeping me out. Jim Ross.
Michael Bay over here.
Yeah. Wait, we need an American fag and an explosion.
American what?
That's what I heard. I wasn't going to say anything. American miles.
Something like that. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. You leading this one?
Yeah, I was going. So... Jim Ross can barely keep up. He's getting winded. And Jesse, I could tell Jesse is actually into the wrestling because he's shutting up.
Yeah.
He's not making any of his jokes about what's going on. He's not calling out anybody's shit. He is just giving actual, like, adding to the... He's giving analysis of the play-by-play, explaining why someone would be after what they're doing and why it hurts and why both these guys are doing really good. The catapult clothesline gets people... Yeah. Gets that crowd ready. They're just like, who are you? Here we go.
Off the second rope to the outside?
Yeah.
Jesus, that was so cool.
It looked like... I mean, like, he lands on one leg. Yeah. I was like, oh, no. That headbutt almost ended badly, which I guess technically it did. And then we just get a German suplex.
No. I almost lost it.
That's a tiger. That's a tiger plex.
Tiger plex?
That's right. Because I was like, full Nelson plex? I was like, there's another name.
I looked that up too because I was like, wait, what's a dragon plex? No, it's not a dragon.
What's a dragon plex?
I think it's a double underhook. It's actually a dragon.
I thought that was a butterfly. No,
that's if you butterfly bomb. But
the butterfly. And then you go over the head like, Scott Steiner used to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nah. But what was cool is like Benoit, but like this is a, I mean, it was in the video games. I believe it was
It was his special move from behind.
It was. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The special. It's a good one to use too.
Yeah. I can't win with the crossface. Mm. I'm going forever. With back special. Yeah.
Charlie walks into a massage parlor. I'm going with the back special.
This was so cool to watch.
Mm-hmm. What do you give it, Jason?
Six.
Because remember, we've seen Benoit already on the show, but it was like in that tag tournament.
Yeah, they actually make a point of saying this is his first singles match on television.
And, it's so cool because you can see this is somebody who grew, like you can see the Dynamite Kid stuff, you can see the Bret Hart stuff that he's kind of emulating in there and stuff like that.
And his crispness.
Like, man.
The snap suplex he gives, his shoulder tackle. Like short clothesline thingy, like I was like, that has never changed.
Yeah.
Like he grasped those and realized that's perfect. There's no need to change it, man.
Yeah, that's a really good TV match. Yeah, I gave it a 7.
7. Yeah. It's one of the best body slams of all the basic moves. This body slam is so cool. Benoit slams Armstrong so hard he comes like a foot off the canvas. Mm-hmm. And I think even Jesse commented on it. But it just had such intensity. I absolutely loved this match. I give this an 8.
Yeah. Whoa. I'm not going to lie. You know, the worst part about watching matches is I'm just waiting for the ironies. Like, oh, they're going to say something that ties into, well, you know. But I mean,
Jason already kind of did that.
Yeah, I know. He slid it in there.
I almost missed it.
But it was...
Well done.
God, it was fun to watch. It really was.
Chris Benoit was a great wrestler.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Brad Armstrong, too. Brad Armstrong. Good for him, dude.
I don't want to not sell Brad Armstrong. I was not expecting this from him.
I mean, that's why he's such a talent, because like, I think we've kind of seen this like the whole way through.
Mm-hmm. He must not have had the right opponent or something, because I've never liked
him. He's had like 8 gimmicks?
Yeah.
Exaggeration.
Well, because there's Candyman. There was this, like...
The Great Buddha? No.
He's doing it.
I'll do it because the camera's not out. Yeah. But anyway, I was a big fan of Armstrong like back in the day, like because the Candyman gimmick, it was just like just the striped pink pants.
He just passed away too, didn't he?
Yeah. But it's been.
Oh, I didn't know he died.
Yeah. Like Road Dogg's all left, I think.
And that's barely.
Well, the referee.
Referee?
Scott's still alive.
Scott, is he one of them?
Road Dogg had a heart attack a couple weeks ago.
Scott Armstrong is one of the Armstrongs.
The white, white hair.
Yeah,
terrible three count.
The crooked referee.
The crooked referee that's, yeah, okay.
How do we keep him on the payroll? I always wonder.
He's like the Milton Wadhams of the WWF. Like, we just fixed the glitch. So he won't be getting a paycheck anymore.
But we get that, and then we get the announcement of all announcements, RIP Richard Morton, because the Rock and Roll Express is back in another promotion.
So, did you guys ever watch Smoky Mountain?
No, because it wouldn't come around here.
Only in clips on the WWE DVDs.
So, it would come in Charleston, I used to watch it. It would come on like on Channel 36 on the weekends. I remember watching, and I thought this was really cool because... It was a lot like WCW, but it was cool because it was like some of the guys you recognize. Like I think Jake pops up in there for a minute. Mm-hmm. You had a lot of guys pop in there for a minute because, and I didn't realize at the time like it was kind of a quasi farm system. Farm system for the WWE.
Well, I remember they make a point of talking about the heavenly bodies.
Yeah.
Did they just go to the WWF? Because they bury them on the commentary. They go and they beat the heavenly bodies. Like they seem like they really want us to know that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is around the time the heavenly bodies show up in the WWF. Well,
it must be because you look; those aren't the trunks. Like they clearly get an update with their trunks because they look like. They don't look like the way they do famously in WWF.
Well, so. One of the referees at Smoky Mountain, I believe that's Mark Eaton.
It is.
He's the referee from Revenge.
Yeah.
And I love this moment. Like it's the ref. He completely misses a tag during the video package, and then. Huh. And he looks at the crowd like this. And he's, oh, I'll allow it.
That crowd was
they're hot.
Awesome. Yeah. See, I'll tell you, every once in a while I would catch that and I was like, man, this is really good. And what a shitty package they put together. Like,
yeah, it's not,
it's not too cool. It doesn't, it just ends. Like, there's no, like,
how that's the thing. It's 4 minutes of a match and you don't get the finish.
So I was like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought they were going to show us the whole match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least show me the finish.
And what's Dicks. What's messed up?
Damn. Dicks. I wasn't that mad.
What's messed up is we are later on in the show, we're going to get teased with we may run out of time.
Yes.
And there's this is another yet another several minute video package from somewhere else.
Right.
And, right. And I get it's... This is a good way to make Super Brawl feel like a big deal if you're saying, look for all these competitors.
Well, maybe don't do this stupid arm wrestling thing that we're about to do.
Yes.
This is a 10.
I mean, what I mean is dumb about it. It's like, who would remember that Jesse had this arm wrestling tournament?
Yep.
I know it's been 100 years since we recorded, but still, I thought that we were done with this.
Because I thought it was part of that, because they even mentioned in the video package that Van Hammer, the man with the strongest arms in WCW, so there, which is, he's already heavy metal. You don't need to give him something else. It's from playing all that guitar. But, yeah.
We make fun of Vinny Vegas's accent a lot, and it didn't dawn on me until last night. Las Vegas doesn't have an accent.
No, he's just
he's trying to be a wise guy.
What?
I guess.
He thinks he's in Casino.
This one single note I have here is that Tony Atlas can beat him left-handed. He can beat him right-handed. He can beat him center-handed. And I was like,
I missed.
All right. Yeah. All right, Tony.
Now we got to hear his trademark yell or his laugh or whatever that was. Oh!
Okay. This is one of the things you'd have to turn it down. Because it's like if someone just happened to be walking by your room and all you're hearing is,
Is that Tony Atlas?
What's
going on in there?
They just go, is that Tony Atlas?
Sounds like Tony Atlas.
Sounds like Tony Atlas watching a Quentin Tarantino movie on the feet. But I didn't know if we needed to.
No, I've rated it as a joke. We can skip it.
All I've got is so much screaming, and Vegas wins left-handed.
Don't you love worked arm wrestling matches? Because the way it usually works is if this is the face, then he starts to get pushed, and then he makes this miraculous comeback. And usually that's it, but then they just keep going back and forth. Worked arm wrestling matches are just a chore to watch.
Was this... So this was January 93, so was Ninja Turtles 2 in 92?
90... No,
91. Right, it was just a year after.
Yeah, we're in the year of Jurassic Park now.
Well,
yeah.
Well, yeah. But I was just... The only reason I was wondering is, like, are they going, oh, well, he's this Super Shredder guy.
Actually, this might be the year of Ninja Turtles 3.
The one Tarzan good. Boy.
Yeah. Not a good movie.
Would have been a great episode of the cartoon. Not a good movie.
Yeah, as a 30-minute episode of the cartoon. Yeah, it would have been much better.
That's it for TNT Minute.
Oh, well, here we go.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for this moment.
So, we're...
Yeah. I'm with you, man.
So, I'm just going to let these two do it, but I'm going to give us the intro here.
You got to be the get-back coach on this one.
Oh, man. So, here's what we got. Oh, there's no such thing. We don't know restraint. We got the Wrecking Crew. Rage and Fury versus Z-Man and Johnny Gunn.
So the first thing is like the name. Like, how do you get away with calling the because you famously have already had the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, so
right?
Why would
reference later in the match?
Yeah, why would you even use this name to begin with? Because that sets you up like, okay, are these guys like Andersons? Are they this or that? No, they are Rage and they are Fury, and you couldn't like cool names. And then they come out in these, like, just kind
of... How did we never come up with this?
I know. We had a
homicide... Sludge and Gunk.
All right, so... All right.
I thought you were going to go with excessive force.
So this is going to be
No, like, we're thinking of these stupid names like this.
Here we go. Yeah. Here we go. Let's do
Did you get a list?
I have the whole TCW catalog. So TCW is trashy championship wrestling that Charlie and I came up with in college. And what I've been trying to do over the last, the last couple of years is when all three of us, Jason included too, we would come up with wrestlers, we would really build them out. Like, I'm going to run through some of these guys, and I don't care. You know what? This is a clash. These are shorter episodes. Let's have some fun with this here. First guy, Jax Turmoil. Finisher, Land of Confusion. Description, top rope pile driver.
Entrance, the finishes are the best. Yeah.
Entrance theme, Rainbow in the Dark. Here we go. Comet Kowalski. Finisher, Criterion Crunch. Description, top rope chair shot.
Is he the Rob Van Dam of DCW?
Balls behind.
Entrance theme, Superman's Dead. Here we go. This is a special one. Francois Kamikaze Ramirez.
Although I remember this guy, yeah.
His finisher is the II, the International Incident. Description, top rope suplex to the floor. Entrance theme, pocket full of rainbows.
By Elvis.
Here we go. Here, oh, this one's my. I know I made this because this sounds ridiculous. Teddy Rocksteady. Finisher, Snow Day. Description, Rude Awakening on the apron.
The is in this part of the ring.
Entrance theme, cocaine.
Is it the song or is it just this is a solitude?
This is just a buffet line.
I guarantee you this is Jason's. I just know it. Beef the Cake Roberts.
That's me.
No, it's me.
Is that you? Yeah. Okay, I have a name.
Finisher, the Smorgasbord Slam. Description, top rope sidewalk slam. Theme song, Eat It. Tag team, the Time Shifters. Finisher, turn your clocks back. Description, Doomsday Device. Into the crowd. Theme, time is running out.
Pepper Roach.
Here we go. Stuart Jepson Washington.
Oh, it's
SJW
me.
For short.
SJW.
It's me.
Finisher, the Tolerant Takedown. Description. This is a long one, but bear with me. He's constantly mic'd, so he just annoys the hell out of you until you careen him with a foreign object and disqualify yourself. His theme is black or white. This is another Charlie special. Get ready. The Chefs. Giuseppe Risotto and Roberto Linguini. Their finisher is the sack lunch. The description, a double power bomb over the top rope into a table of lasagna that they bring into the ring every night. And the theme, that's amore. Charlie, I can't remember. I feel like we comboed on this one, but here we go. Fat ass flat Frank Filippo.
That's me.
There we go. Finisher, the sit and spin. Description, bonsai drop with a full 360 rotation after impact. After impact.
Is it any better than before?
Theme, this is the best. God of Thunder.
Boom, 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 boom. Played on a tuba.
This guy feels so pedestrian, but here he is. Frank Gorgon. He's a freight dock worker.
Oh, we got gimmicks.
His finisher is the double shift. Description, double power bomb.
On his own? Just wait a minute. So is it two? Is it like one, like Jericho? Or is it...
Does he go and just... He's a union worker.
Does it be like this and press you down?
And music, Holy Diver. Here we go. This was a fun one. I think this is my mushroom. DC Rebel. Gimmick, punk, all-round Hellraiser, early 20s, finisher, Fonzie. Description, shooting star, frog splash. Music, round and round.
Shooting Star Frogs.
Yeah, Shooting Star Frogs Brown. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, hard to pull off.
The 450 Frogs.
Tyson D'Amato, former four-time world arm wrestling champion with both arms, banned for life after headbutting a referee. Finisher, lucky break. Description, running power slam with hammer lock applied.
The lucky break.
And his music is The Stroke. Now, I really like this one. This was The Townies.
Oh, The Townies. I like this one, too.
Jackie, Donnie, and Sully. The gimmick, loudmouth Bostonian sports fans all wear Larry Bird, Tom Brady, or Nomar jerseys. Their finish is is Martha's Vine. Description.
Martha's Vine.
And description, Boston Crab.
That's all it is.
So are they all three doing it?
Yes. They all
Martha's Vine. I like that.
Music, shipping up to Boston. It writes itself, folks. I think this is yours. This is a good one. John Philip Broadway.
Oh, dear.
Community actor, legend, turned professional wrestler. Completely, is this yours?
Oh, this is you? Yes. Okay, good.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Completely delusional. Always misses the best of luck spot, yet always a fan favorite. Finisher, upstage. Description, 450, five-star frogs.
I can see on the way.
Music, the heat is on. This is 100% Charlie's. I'm almost Harrison Fjord.
Nope.
Is this yours too?
Because it's a Fjord. It's a.
I thought because
I think I make up the. I think I give like the four Norsemen. I think I don't know if I put it on there.
Gimmick,
Ric Flair.
Norway's leading man, star of the Scar Walks and Lillehammer Jones film franchises.
Totally.
Came to America from worldwide fame only to discover the best friend writer director Lucas Svenberg stole all of his ideas from American movies. A stranger in a strange land and penniless, Fjord turns to wrestling in the hopes that one day he will have the match that leaps him back home. Has a Ken / Ryu rivalry with JPB. Who was that again? John Philip Broadway. As they both are thespians with localized fame, and yet they're always in competition for the same role as a finisher. The finisher is the one-liner. It's a flatliner combined with a witty comment.
That only he can hear. The opponent.
The music was Take On Me. Next wrestler, Nicotini. Concept, he's Orange Cassidy, but he smokes a lot of cigarettes. Finish, cold turkey. Swinging neckbreaker from the top rope. Reversed or countered 99% of the time. Theme, all the small things. The Super Dude, Haas Avocado. At 6'11", 380 pounds, by volume. He is an actual giant in the world of extreme sports. Winning a gold medal in every X Games event between 1999 and 2010, this tubular titan sets his sights on TCW's crown jewel. Finisher, Guac Hole Sun. Jumping airplane spin toss into the ring post. Good God. Dangerous. Superman by Goldfinger. These were, now here are the classic ones. These are the classic.
Oh, you got the OGs. Yeah,
the OGs. The Mastodon Terry Gilbert.
Yes. The first time I heard of the Mastodon Terry Gilbert was our first trip to Charleston.
That was the first name we ever came up with.
Will just told me that. I was like, I want to see this guy.
The Mastodon Terry Gilbert.
Big Daddy Dump Truck.
Yeah.
Our Jobber of the Stars. The Bulkster Ted Boa. And then, what? Dick Gamecock. He founded the USC. Sludge and Gunk, another tag team, classic. Smack and Blow. Another tag team, Minimum Wage. We got quite the tag team.
This was a tag team division.
And
for
this,
a while.
Ending it on a high here.
Oh, wait. Remember Minimum Wage's a finishing move? The pink slip.
The pink slip, that's right.
What was your pink slip?
We didn't know what it was.
Because in SmackDown vs. Raw 3, the Shut Your Mouth, I made one of the boss of and owner of Frankie's Fun Park, and he was just a dude in a white polo and flip flops. And when they talk like they really talk like this, when you meet them, that's how they sounded. Real country and real hick. And I just gave him his finishing move was just the worm, and I call it the pink slip. And when they were laying and he was doing his hop, like I just give you the reasons that you were getting fired. Whenever I play people, you come in late every day without being in here. Fine. Like it was just wonderful. So whenever I hear someone else says pink slip, I gotta know.
The final one is our favorite. This was our favorite tag team: is Excessive Force. Robertson and Wesley, and the gimmick was they were two like cops, And they never
rocked themselves up.
Their finishing move was the beatdown, where they would handcuff the guy and just beat him until they got disqualified. And that was the finish. So that was a nice detour, folks. The TCW detour.
So, inspired by Rage and Fury.
Yes.
The Wrecking Crew.
Right.
They didn't even come out with, like, crowbars or anything to even go...
What did you think of these guys? Did you think, like, overall, like, outside the name?
Rage has the best moment of the match. He gets up, he points at the camera and says, "Get out of my face." And then the camera doesn't, and then he's out of options. So then he says...
Fear the Rage.
Feel the Rage!
I thought it was Fear the Rage.
No. I heard Feel the Rage. Yeah. And I'm like, so you're Rage. Like, because that's what told me who he was.
Yes.
These guys, I mean, I'll take any team who can beat these Z-Man and Tom and Johnny Gunn up, but these guys are no good. At least not to me.
Their finish was awesome.
What was their finish?
The Wrecking Ball. It's like...
I can't even remember what it was. It's
just he lifts him up for almost like a Canadian backbreaker, and the other guy comes out the top rope with the double axe handle. Huh. Perfect. I mean, just...
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. And then he gives him the Dominator right after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember now.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's all I got. Rating?
I gave it a 4 for the finish. The finish was that awesome.
The finish was that awesome.
It took that all the way up to a 4.
Well, for some reason, I wanted to know who Rage and Fury were. So here's what I got. Old Fury is not really... Oh, Marcus Laurinaitis.
Oh. I thought he looked like Road Warrior Animal. Yeah. And I was like, no, that's not Animal. Yeah. But I didn't think there was another brother.
Yeah. And so... He was Marcus Laurinaitis. Now, Rage was Master Blaster Blade.
Oh, no.
From the Master Blasters. And he also wrestled under another green. One name of Al Green from Attack Team Love and Happiness. But.
What?
Wow, that brought everything to a screeching halt.
Is that for real?
He wrestled under Al Green. And I was
you really
just
did wrestle under Al
the,
Green?
With the Tag Team of Love and Happiness to go with.
Oh.
But, yeah. It was,
I get it now.
See, no joke is good that someone goes, oh, I get it now. I'll just go shoot myself in the closet here.
There's a window right there.
That's not far enough to kill me. And plus, there's another roof right there. But Jesse calls this the Battle of Beauty and Brawn.
Oh, God.
Yep. Anyone else? I mean, Z-Man's been around way too long. He's been around our entire timeline. To be still doing the rookie face... Dropkick, yeah!
Just doing this for a paycheck. I'm convinced at this point. He's going nowhere fast.
Rage is...
He's going nowhere fast.
Rage gets pretty winded very quickly. This is the match of all matches from these big-ass dudes that the ref takes the shoulder bump. The 150-pound, just no sells at laying out guy. And then... What I love is that the Wrecking Crew took the time to talk to Jim Ross before the show to tell him the name of their finisher.
That was nice of him.
It's like he knew he was going to get it. Like, no.
Feel the Rage.
I gave this a 3. Wow. Even though a good finisher couldn't save it for me. So.
That was fun.
I just stalled out for a minute because I forgot who we got. So. Now we get some really cool news because...
Uh-huh.
I lost my place.
Larry Zbyszko is with the Hollywood Blondes.
Yes, he is. This is where
it's time. Finally.
Do you guys feel like they just got... This was the moment that when Austin famously talks about, like, Pillman said, hey, we're going to be a tag team. Bullshit.
Yeah.
He looks confused.
Yeah. Austin has this moment right when the camera's like... Pillman's left the image, and Austin just stands there like this.
Oh, he sounds like it the whole time. That's why I did the
it's
screenshot
so weird.
With the feeling when you cut a silent fart while your partner has to do a promo. Because it's just because Pillman even looked pissed off.
And I feel like they just learned 30 minutes ago that this was going to happen.
Yeah. But
holy shit. Did they make this work? Like, yes. This was my team.
Oh, yeah.
absolutely.
But
it is weird to have Austin in a promo and not have him speak.
Yes.
Yeah, we never hear him speak.
We have Brian Bickle over here.
Bill Pullman.
What other Bill Pullman.
Oh, Travis Bickle.
Yeah, there you go.
A lot of aliens.
Flying Travis.
But it was real small. This was another kick out of 3. Again.
Are we going to the match already?
No. The
Wrecking Crew?
The Wrecking Crew match had another kick out of 3. I'm like, come on.
Everyone's got to look strong.
We got to.
Super Brawl is coming.
It's the most important thing in the world. Because we just get the teaser that we get that Vader has invited Sting to his White Castle of Fear.
Why did they call it that?
I don't know. But man, this thing is great. I'm hoping that there is that it's on one of the shows. I don't remember, so that we don't have to find like a crappy YouTube where it's all blurry and shit. But after their promo, we get the here's the bad guys hanging out, and for no reason we get the firing of the Barbarian, who takes it very well.
Man, that is the best no since Darth Vader. That no is unbelievable.
No! picks him up.
Yeah,
the balls on that dude.
And they beat the shit out of him. My favorite part, though, is after they beat the shit out of him. And wait till they have the camera on.
Oh, yeah.
After they beat the shit out of him, right before they cut to commercial, you hear Vader walking towards him about to kick him, and he says, "Don't you ever do that again."
Yeah. That's random. But I got this joke, and this joke is for one person only. But Harley Race fires the Barbarian, and it goes down like Disgruntled Bebop versus Shindana in 2012 at the Verizon Dome. Because, man, both things didn't work out too well. But we get Jesse spends the next few minutes pointing out how dumb this is.
Yeah, and it sucked because I wrote it, and then it was the very next thing that happened. And I was like, damn it. Like, he keeps taking my material. But yeah, you wait till after the match.
And he physically can't hide how stupid he thinks this is. Because he has I don't see why you would let hatred take away a 4-on-3 advantage. But that's certainly what they did. And he just does this. And it's not even like, because he's the heel. He would not be that despicable. He's just like, just stupid.
It's stupid.
But we get, after this, we get a recap of how important Super Brawl is with some of the highlights.
A compilation of two shows.
Right. Both of them.
Both of
them. Both of them. And let me ask you guys this. So Super Brawl gets a number. Great. Because you could just call it Super. You can say, I'm going to beat you at Super Brawl. But it's all Super Brawl 3. Just like Battle Bowl was Battle Bowl 92. Why is everyone saying the name of the year in it? It's not Super Bowl 1982.
It's like a boss. Rock at WrestleMania X7.
2001.
That'd be a little weird.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. No, but everything, and they make sure to tell us on TBS, like pointed out where it is. I mean, I get it, that's branding. But the highlight of all the highlights is we get Missy Hyatt in the locker room with the confrontation with sexy Stan Hansen. Excuse me, sick sexy Stan Hansen. He's the sixth sexiest man in WCW.
Does he say, get that big butt out of here?
Yeah, get that big butt out of here. Yeah, and he's just slapping the show. And Terry Taylor can't not laugh.
Yeah, I mean, but it was super funny.
Yeah, you know, if you were it's there. Really good. Because everyone does it. I mean, Missy and Stan Hansen do an amazing job. I mean, it gets my favorite, because Stan Hansen gets that weird, awkward velociraptor pose on her.
It is weird.
Yeah. But also, Stan Hansen wears his boxers in the shower.
Thank God.
I mean, yeah.
Thank God.
And apparently keeps his mouth open and full of jaw.
Did you notice this fan who is behind Jim Ross and Jesse Ventura?
Which one? The one that kept drinking and pointing at the camera?
Yeah, that's what he was doing. His sign said Ross and Cactus are related. I saw him earlier. Well, during this segment, I said, I'm not shitting you. He's doing this.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He is absolutely doing a Nazi salute. And he's holding the sign with the other hand. And it's just like, ew.
Sir, when does he do it?
This would be, right after this.
I'm going to the videotape right now.
Yeah. It's right before the Hollywood Blondes match.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
I want you to see this.
Was there something?
No, you guys keep going.
Did you want to ask the guy where he was on January 6th?
You kidding? He's probably dead.
But
get to that Super Brawl recap, and it's right after that.
Yeah. So it's just weird because the thing is, they're that long clip, but they only have like four things to show. And I get when, and as funny as we think it is, when that's part of your highlight reel. To talk about the biggest wrestling event of the year doesn't bode well.
Yeah, you see it?
I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm almost there because it's at the Sting Luger part now, so I know him at the end.
So this is when Larry Zbyszko interviews Steamboat and Douglas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's Douglas does okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is a pretty decent promo on his part. And, you know, usually we shit on his promos, but this is like a typical babyface promo, and it's fine. And they're talking about their match with the Hollywood Blondes, which is what we've got coming up next.
Right. And it's good because it's a good 60 second. Just like perfect. Like the good ones, can, you know, give me 15,
yeah.
Give me 30, give me this, and there's bam.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's also Ricky Steamboat's got a little edge to him.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, sitcom Steamboat taking a back seat here. Right. All right, Matt, I'm here. Let's take a minute here. All right, let's see.
Is this the gun? Yeah. So he flips.
He's having a good time. Fist. Oh!
Uh-oh. Screen grab that guy.
Dun, 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 dun.
There's a target.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm here to terminate drunk guy behind Jim Ross. What, me? Yes.
I'm glad I didn't remember that incorrectly. But yeah, he like does a thumbs up,
uh-huh.
And then he flips off the camera,
oh.
And then he does this.
Well, if he's doing it after a thumbs up and a bird, he's just probably wanting attention.
I mean, he could have done any number of things.
He ran out of choices.
Why is that your third choice?
Why is that any choice?
Yeah. I am the least racist person in this room. It's one of my favorite quotes ever.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. It's a pretty funny meme. It's a picture of picture of a chick standing at a gas station. This guy's taking a picture of her lower back end. But the caption is, man, this girl really likes the number 5. And her tattoo is clearly a swastika that the bands are covering up. So all you see is like that part and this part. And I was like, oh, that's freaking...
That's terrible.
Why would you do that right above your ass?
Self high five. Alright.
So here we go.
Yeah, so who's got this match?
Alright. Is it me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
we didn't talk about the match at all.
Alright, no, I was talking about Wrecking Crew who did. Alright, anyway, so.
We just all had fun with Wrecking Crew because it was the TCW thing.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you guys in here. Go ahead. That's cool.
I mean, I don't have much, so it'll be done quick.
That's what he said.
This damn thing never stops moving. Like, this is so fast-paced and fun, and this is what a tag team match should be. This is probably my favorite match that ever had Shane Douglas in it. And even with the shit finish, it cannot, dampen my enthusiasm for this match. This is my favorite match on the card. And Austin and Pillman... Even if Austin is upset about this, they're perfect for each other, like, at this point in time. And they're just shit heels at the end. They just, the hell with it. And they start beating Steamboat with the belt.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's awesome.
I absolutely love this match. I gave it an 8.
Yeah. I have the exact same rating. I have an 8. I do love the ending where it's just, because they said earlier, it's like, we'll do whatever it takes to win. And then flat out, it's like, we're going to hit him with the belts.
And then they took him.
Yeah,
I love the false finish too. Like, you know, you think Douglas is down, he's out, and the crowd is totally into it. They cover him, they only get a 2, and it's like, oh man.
But the crowd's hot for the Hollywood Blondes.
Oh, yeah, they're ready for this. They're ready for this. Yeah, yeah.
Well, they're not quite the Hollywood Blondes yet.
Not quite. Well,
I mean, I get what you.
I'm just skipping ahead. It's Lester Wright.
It's true. That's why I just wrote Ricky and Shane.
Yeah.
Sounds like a
steamed Douglas.
steamed clam.
But once we have to say it again, the Limbaugh thing comes back again in this match.
Oh, he does.
Oh, yeah.
Because Limbaugh is a fan of WCW.
Oh, it does.
Even better.
Followed by Jessica, don't make me throw up.
Don't make me throw up.
Oh, man.
What do you give this, Jay?
Well, I give this bad boy some analysis first before I give you my rating. Because there's this. I noticed throughout the back that the Mecca's floor is so much better shape than the Omni's floor. Very clean.
Yeah, the Clash floor gets better treatment than the fucking
right.
Star
King. This seems like it's in a better.
Yeah, it's all around.
We just threw it in the Omni.
Yeah.
That seems like a house show place. No offense, the Omni.
We used to love that arena in Legends of Wrestling, the video game.
Yeah.
Remember that? We used to use the Omni all the time.
Yeah.
The Shane Douglas gets an enormous pop for his hot tag. Like, it's a good job of Steamboat's just in there getting worked over and doing all this. And what's good is the faces get the normal heel thing where the faces are tag, hit, tag, hit, tag, hit, tag, hit. Like, it's a lot. It's like 10.
He's keeping Pillman off balance.
Yeah, they're just doing what they're doing. Then Steamboat does what I think it should have been Shane, because Shane's rookie, where Steamboat comes in and he's just pushing the ref. He's not like, and there's a pin by his partner. And so then Austin just walks in there, rolls him over, and puts, and it's a full 10. Like, the ref just walks over them. That's one, like, you got to come up with another way for the ref to not see a pin or something. He just steps over him, like, oh, excuse me, kind of thing. But here we go. We get to the belt hit. Like, Austin gets that. Somehow Shane Douglas gets busted open. Looks all right. They still hit him on the head. Steamboat does the cover of his friend thing, like, he lays on the grenade. They start whooping the shit out of him, and then here come the face, the mid-card faces, or the lower-card faces, and Dustin to chase him out. They, and Austin and Pillman leave. It made them feel like a big deal.
It makes them look like stars.
I don't know if that was the intention, especially if something just comes through, but this...
We need the whole locker room to come out to take out these two guys.
That could be an audible call in the moment. That is...
Steve just kind of said, all right, after we told him this and had this look in his eye, now he's beating a person with their championship belt. I give us an 8.
Yeah. I mean, Austin said that they made them break up when they were white hot. Mm-hmm. Austin was so pissed about that.
Yeah. Oh, God damn. Sounds like a bullshit reason to me. God dang. So what is this cage again? What's it called?
Thunder Cage.
Thunder Cage.
Super. I like Super Cage.
Okay. Because I feel like... Keep writing it differently.
What'd you call it at one time?
I think I did Thunder Dome at one point.
Yep, Cage in a Cell.
It's the first Hell in a Cell.
Super Cage.
It's a Hell in a Cell with the bars that we like. Yeah, it's not the gate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, they don't use any of the
Nope.
But anyway, we have got something to do before that, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
We get the
recap of how Vader got the belt.
Yep. And so somehow, for some reason, again, the World Heavyweight Championship is done at a house show.
At the same arena.
At the same arena that's taped. It's not even, like, taped to be put on. It's a single cam tape.
Yeah, single cam.
And...
I wonder if that little kid was there.
Oh, I hope not.
I know. That kind of ruined it for me, too. I was like, oh, I hope that kid didn't show up.
You're not allowed in.
Yeah, they would stop him.
Man, listen, no, not for what you think.
No.
It's going to be sad.
That's amore.
out again. I bit my hand off.
So, Harley and Vader are in the ring. You're getting ready to have this match, but for some reason they come out for a full interview segment to leave again.
Yeah.
But Ron Simmons comes out. Gets the upper hand, which is crazy. Beats the fuck out. Like, I don't know why.
Dude,
Vader's right there.
He beats him.
Yeah.
He is so hot. I'm like, where was this?
Yeah.
When you had the belt, man.
Yeah.
Like, that's the kind of fire I'm looking for. He hits another spine walk slam.
Oh, my God. It looks so good.
And then, Leon. So then here comes Vader. Just Vader does Vader and goes again the shoulder breaker. But, you know, the whole rotator cuff injury, at least it's that. But he does two shoulder breaks.
That second one looked nasty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he splashes on the outside. He jumps and spins in midair.
Mm-hmm. Vader's like, oh, watch this, Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh.
In his Thunder Cage where he does the Ric Flair bomb.
He does the flare flip.
Yeah. I can do it all, baby.
My God.
Whoa, wait.
Suck a jib.
Oh, man. Vader and DX Triple
H,
all green.
Sean, China, and Vader.
Oh, my God. Dude, the muscle.
He actually says it's Vader time.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
For such a shit match, he comes out so pumped.
Yeah.
He is jacked for that. He's like, Vader time. So, feel the pain.
I'm always ready for Vader.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just like,
I'm always ready for Vader time.
It's Vader time.
It's what I got tattooed right here.
It's Vader time.
It's Vader time right here. I got clobbering time right here. It's time. But yeah, And so then they still go back to the back to cut to a commercial. And man, this cage, I didn't see, I don't know how big the mecha is, but I didn't see the cage hanging once.
I didn't either.
And then here it comes lower.
Just showed up.
And I was thinking for a second, is this one of the pre-tape clashes, you know, and then they just cut out the time. But here it comes, and it's a big ass cage, covers outside to the floor. It's a WCW Hell in a Cell, sponsored by Nirvana. Come dressed as you are. They keep making a big deal about that. And Vader's like, no, I'm wearing my gear.
I love it. I just assume that's where that's how he dresses everywhere.
Yeah.
I just think,
you talk about
this is my opposite.
I'll put on a necktie.
A necktie with the rest of the uniform.
The fucking, the necktie is only this long because his neck's so big.
I want to see now Major League, but Big Van Vader in the Charlie Sheen role.
What? You want me to take my bag? Beat the shit out of him? No.
Wow.
Get me Vader.
Wow, Vader.
You know you're in trouble. You're the catcher. You're like, oh, God, the batter's like, what? And the Vader, no pain. Oh, no.
I didn't know who she was. I swear to God. You want Vader?
Oh, Vader doing the Ride Guard commercial from 2.
Odor Rippers. Oh, no. What was that? A slider?
No, put it down. I cannot do it anymore.
You want Vader?
You trying to say Mr. Wonderful can't hit a curveball?
You may think you're through with me, Mr. Brown.
Now I put Vader in other Charlie Sheen movies, the one where he's supposed to be an Indian. Where he's like looking,
breaking the law?
Yeah, I think so. The one where he's on the bike and he's got like the full mane.
I want to see Vader as a Three Musketeer.
Vader in Hot Shots. He's just squeezed into that cockpit.
You can do the M not R2 argument with Jerry always.
R2's.
Alright, put it down.
Lays the bacon on a little sizzling belly and then picks up, eats it because it's bacon.
Oh,
my baby.
Oh, now we're going to
okay, well then.
No, but I was thinking about the rest of that line. I'm going to shove it up your fucking ass. Right up your fucking ass.
Good. I like that.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. That's a Photoshop way to have it. But it's going to be tricky because I can't just put Vader's head on.
Vader's with the mask.
Just... Which mask? Wait, the mask with the big black mask with the steam?
Put those stupid red glasses on him.
Yeah.
With him wearing the mask.
So here we go. So okay. That we can watch, because the kids are in bed, I don't want us to get too much.
Yeah, that's wild.
So now we got a 3 on, maybe 2. So
back up. They say no disqualification. I immediately thought he
tag matches.
Mm-hmm.
Took me about half. I'm a little rusty. Took me about half the match to realize that.
Everything's fine except you got a tag.
In a no disqualification.
That's right. There are no rules. You better tag.
In the very beginning, they're all standing at the wrong corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like Vader's at the top right, and Sting is at he's at the bottom left. And then Vader just kind of looks and he starts walking to the other corner.
Do you feel like somebody gave the referee the note? And they're like, yeah, dude, this is no disqualification. So everybody's like, eventually, like, it's just like all out fighting.
Well, they started it first. That's how they started. And then, they split him up.
But then, like, I feel like somebody gives him the note because, like, the match quickly loses the tag.
I mean, do they not understand the rules in their own bullshit sport? I mean, the whole reason to tag.
Where's Paul Horning from the Green Bay Packers to talk about new people?
Because when I used to play Revenge, I used to always get so confused because you would turn off tag format, and it would automatically turn off rope break.
Right.
And it used to confuse me. I'm like, why can't I have rope break on? Why can't? Because you're a stupid 10-year-old. That's why. Like, there's clearly no DQ.
Right.
Yeah, so there's no DQ.
Yeah. So we get the smongs for the get-go. We still confused about the tag stuff, but... this is where Jim Ross brings up that the short time left, and if it ends, that they'll show us the rest of it on Saturday night. Okay, but
it's their own network,
and
that's the part I don't get.
And you would have been fine if you didn't have 10 fucking video packages.
Or this arm wrestling match.
Which true. Was a 10, by the way.
I liked it.
I wish it wasn't there.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't there. But it
was pleasant.
I loved it. Sex.
So, then we go, Jesse Ventura says that Sting and Rhodes will have to wrestle smart to overcome the disadvantage. And at the exact same time, Sting lets Wyndham roll over and just make a tag.
I know.
Sting is betrayed by math because 3 is more than 2. And so we just finally get our first successful Stinger splash. Finally, so yeah. Here we go. And the crowd loves it. But the crowd's really confused because there's this big cage that goes out. There's nothing in the floor.
Right.
No one climbs this cage.
Right.
I don't blame them because it looks shaky as all hell. Then... You all right?
I sent the picture.
Yes. Oh, okay. I got the picture.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no mistaking that, right? Okay.
You just want to make sure?
I mean, that's pretty blatant now that I get a good look at it.
I'm glad you got it right in the middle of my bit. So, so here comes Cactus Jack. And like, oh, here we go. Crowd is nuts. Right. Cactus Jack isn't in his ring gear. Because he came as he was, uses those bolt cutters. Here comes Barry Windham for the stop, nails him, not with the handles, he nails him with the front part. I was like, ooh, even just a little bit of opening, you could have cut Barry up a little bit. And then there's a few minutes of Cactus Jack in the match. Cactus Jack gets the win on Paul Orndorff. And here we go. Cactus Jack is the big triumphant hero, and here comes Sting's music.
Which, by the way, yeah, should we say Man Cult? Is it the Man Cult thing?
It's the
debut of the new.
Yeah,
it was the new theme. We have.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the first time we're hearing this.
Yeah, then we get with the line he does this,
he does that.
He's big as a bull and quick as a cat.
That's fine the next line.
All the time, Man Cult Sting, Man Cult Sting. It's like someone just literally like Randy Newman, the WCW.
He does that.
You guys are gonna laugh at this here too.
Here we go, and then we get Cactus at the end with this, which is weird, is because they were talking about how many we might run out of time.
Right.
We got 5 minutes left. They do their normal wrap up along. Cactus Jack is right there, who does. It could have been a little bit. I fixed it a little bit. This promo to just you can beat me, you can hurt me, but you can't stop me. That would have been great. I mean, he surmised it, but looks good. Climbs the cage. Maybe a third of the way up, crowd's going nuts. He's bang banging everybody, and good night, Cactus.
Good night, Cactus. Well, it's Jesse who tells him to tell him
yes,
goodbye or good night. Yeah, which is weird because it seems like Jesse really has to tell him something. Like he has to go to the bathroom or something. But you can tell he's like anxious.
Predator's really good. I don't know if you know it. Predator's awesome.
Hey, we're gonna run out of time.
Running
man.
I ain't
got time to bleed.
Yeah, running man. The Predator.
Demolition Man, I'm there for a scene. Major League 2. It's the only good part.
And that's the filmography. Oh, wait. Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who was he in Batman and Robin?
He's one of the guards for Mr. Freeze. That's the filmography of Jesse the Body Ventura.
Welcome to IMDb Stabil.
Yeah, that would be me. I gave this a 4.
Yeah, I have exactly a 4. I don't like this. I didn't like it.
I didn't even rate it, so give it a 4. It's just
unfortunate because, like...
On 4.
Again, like what I always like about these shows is watching the opening package and thinking, like, if I just stumbled across this, how excited would I be?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, man, this looks awesome. And then it's like, nah, man, it's actually not very good. Because, what's the math? How many competitors are eliminated before it even begins?
3.
And then one magically appears to...
One magically appears.
And gets the pin. Real quick, this is going to be hilarious to you guys. There are 2 matches that have, like, star ratings on this card. Well, we know what one will be. 3.75 go to the Unified Tag Match.
That's it?
Deservedly so. 3.25 go to the main of the Thunder Cage.
Garbage.
So
is it possible for people to not review stuff out of nostalgia?
No, dude. This is like from WON. Like, that's like, isn't that the Wrestling Observer?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. And I take it that's also rated from the time.
Yeah, I'm sure. Good Lord. That's pretty, wow. Because it doesn't deliver on anything.
No,
it doesn't. The cages doesn't do anything.
Right.
No one, I mean, I know it doesn't, that's definitely not a cage. You can grate someone on the face, but no one's pulling it's anyone's arm through it. No, nothing.
No.
The only time it comes into play is when Jack cuts open the bolt with the bolt cutters.
Yeah,
that's it.
It doesn't even serve the purpose of Sting's rivalry with Vader.
No,
it catches Jack on the shadows.
And what's more unfortunate is Barry Windham's back to just henchman. Yeah. Barry Windham is how there's he's not into Berserk.
And how the hell did Cactus Jack lose his shoe?
He took it off and started hitting people with it.
That's how he beats Orndorff in the face with his
boot. He just comes after they get the bolt cutters out of his hand. He starts beating motherfuckers with his shoe.
Well, we're good.
All right, what you got?
Well, to no one's surprise, I have it rated at the highest. Jason at the lowest.
Oh.
And Will, how are you? You're almost directly in the middle.
Whoa.
5.8. 5.5. 5.
Well, you too.
5.43 is what we get Clash.
6.0 on Cage Match. So not.
I'm okay with that. Oh, this was a much better show than Starrcade.
Yeah. Overall, yeah. Well, because like the flow of it was just better. Even like
the variety of matches.
Yeah, I mean like, and you can just see it's the template for what Monday Night Wrestling or a weekly night wrestling on cable was going to be, because it's got weirdo shit like a arm wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, weirdo shit.
But you know what I mean? Like we have these bizarre segments, like we're like just random, you know. So. In that case, it's fine. It's just, hey, are they all? They're not all winners.
Not gonna be all. Yeah, not gonna be winners.
No. So, but yet they can all be losers. So.
Yes.
But right. So we've got the. It would be interesting to see how Super Bowl is going to be, because at that point there's going to be a month of Raw. Just seeing how that changes TV. Like, sure, okay, look what people are watching. Look what people are into.
Yeah.
We're also. The 93 Rumble is going to be between now and then. Mm. Then. So. Mm-hmm. There we go.
A decent rumble.
Yeah, so we'll be back when we're back. Hopefully it'll be Razor. Soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right, remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll hopefully to see everyone soon. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter at New Blood Pod. We're at Facebook at New Blood Rising Podcast. I am at the Jason Kiesler.
I am at William Rankin 83.
And I am at CM _ Stabs.
And we will catch your ass down the road.
Kick out, Cactus! Goodbye, my friend. That's the goodbye. Goodbye, Cactus. Thanks for the great memories, buddy. You're gonna be missed, Cactus. Godspeed, Mick Foley.